وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. As to what follows, it is my pleasure to be with you once again, and I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us with this opportunity. I ask Allah azza wa jal to make this class and these classes, in fact, a beneficial reminder for myself first and foremost, and for you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, and help us act upon the information which will be discussed, inshaAllah. In our last session, the title of the dars was Da'wah, This Is Your Honor and Dignity. And I will give you a quick recap. Basically, we were dealing with the fact that da'wah is a consequence of two fundamental elements, which are iman and knowledge. And we cited the ayah in Surah Al-Mujadila, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah raises those who believe amongst you and those who have been given knowledge in degrees. And we said how iman and knowledge are closely related and integrated with the concept of da'wah. Then we gave many examples, and we dealt with a number of ayat from the book of Allah and some narrations from those from the narratives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today or tonight, depending on where you are in the world, we'll be dealing with another element of da'wah, which is the virtues of da'wah. Very often, people involved in da'wah, at some point in the cycle, they lose track of the essence of the da'wah and the reward associated with da'wah. I, being someone who's involved in this field by the grace of Allah, am no exception. And those who give da'wah will probably agree with me. What happens is, human beings have the tendency to turn acts of worship to habits. So what used to be something that we do with a major intent and something which we are strong about, we have this strong conviction, will eventually start fading off and become just like a habit. So you just give da'wah because, well, you know, you're someone who gives da'wah. Tonight, I would like to have us have a change of thought and a change of direction, so that we don't fall into this trap. So in the process, I'll be reminding myself and you about the virtues of da'wah and the reward associated with that, so that we do not become machines who give da'wah and move on without reflecting upon what we are doing, without reflecting upon our intentions, and without reflecting about the potential reward we may receive from Allah if our deeds are indeed accepted. The first ayah which I would like to quote in this context is one of the most beloved ayat to me, and one of the most virtuous ayat in praising da'wah. Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Listen to this. Allah Azza wa Jal says, interpretation of the meaning in English, and who is better than speech than he who calls to Allah, does righteous deeds, and says, verily I am one of the Muslims. I will repeat. Who is better in speech than he or her, of course it's understood, than he who calls to Allah, invites to Allah, does righteous deeds, and says, I am among the Muslims. I am one of the Muslims. إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I'm from the Muslims. This ayah can take up maybe lessons by more qualified scholars, of course, in reflecting and pondering and deducing benefits from this ayah. But with my brief knowledge, I will give you some brief commentary on this ayah. First, Allah Azza wa Jal, and this expression comes in the interrogative. The expression is interrogative, meaning it's a question. However, the intent is not really question, it is declarative. So it's an interrogative sentence, but the objective of it is to declare and make known something to the people. Not really asking a question as if Allah doesn't know. If you notice, the ayah says, and who is better in speech than he who calls to Allah? What is intended is, no one is better in speech than he who calls to Allah. And a worldly example, I could say, let's say an athlete who's known for being the fastest, on the track. And then he says to the people, who is faster than me? And what he really means is, no one is faster than me. I'm the fastest one. And he'd be saying it in this fashion, as to sound even, for excitement, for having the people think in a different way, rather than simply giving them a fact. He uses an interrogative sentence to mention a fact. This is from the eloquence of the Qur'an and the choice of words in the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is better in speech? That really means, no one is better in speech than he who calls to Allah. Now, better in speech. Speech, I'm speaking now, you were probably speaking earlier, and you'll be speaking later, maybe you're speaking while I'm speaking. Everyone speaks. However, when we speak, that speech, like everything else we do, must be evaluated per the Islamic teachings. Is it allowed? Is it forbidden? Is it recommended? Is it disliked? Or is it simply mubah, something which is just simply allowed? First, the first one, let's say it's obligatory, or is it forbidden? Is it recommended, or is it disliked, or is it simply something which is allowed? Speech is no exception to these five rulings, or these five categories in Islam. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioning that the best speech that what one engages in is the one which involves inviting others to Islam. Meaning you can, talk a lot. You can talk a lot. All day long, you're talking and yapping, with this person and that person, I bought this kind of car and my shoes are, that expensive and our house is that big and fancy and blah, 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 blah. People just rab on and on and on forever. However, that speech may fall into one of these five categories I mentioned earlier. But the best speech which we engage in, since we talk a lot, is the one which involves inviting people to Allah. Meaning anyone who is involved in da'wah, his speech per Allah's declaration is the best speech. The best speech. There may be billions of people on earth speaking, the one giving da'wah is speaking the best. Is speaking the best. Is doing that which is most pleasing to Allah. Isn't that amazing? But then the ayah continues. It says, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And he himself or herself were involved in doing righteous deeds. This is an indication that da'wah necessitates that the person given da'wah acts upon this information. Now, we all have shortcomings. I am no exception. Allah knows what I have, what you don't know. We ask Allah to pardon us. But the ultimate objective is for us to be real du'at, inevitably, we must be acting upon this information. Allah didn't just say that they give da'wah. No, He said they give da'wah and they do righteous deeds. Meaning everything we call the people to, we ourselves must be the first to adhere to it and act upon it to the best of our abilities. And that shows you the strong relationship between da'wah and actions. We must be good Muslims. For you to be a da'i, in the ultimate sense, you must be a good Muslim. Now the worst kind of Muslims we are, the weaker the da'wah. The weaker the da'wah. And that is something that we should strictly avoid. Then the last portion of the ayah says, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he says, verily I am one of the Muslims. The scholars say, this person finds pride in attributing himself to Islam. He's not a person who's shy to tell the people he's a Muslim. Nor is he someone who tries to, water down the religion in order to please others. This is someone who has confidence, so much confidence that he declares loudly and publicly, he proclaims before the people that I am among the Muslims. He finds honor in doing so. He finds dignity in doing so. And this is reinforcing our previous lecture. Subhanallah. This ayah is so virtuous. It is so strong in explaining the virtues of the people who do da'wah. So much so that Allah said that there's no one better in speech than them. And the prophets and the messengers were the leaders. They were the leaders in doing that. And you, my brother and sister in Islam, while you are engaged in inviting people to Islam, you are in fact imitating and playing the role of the prophets and the messengers of Allah. The best people. The best people. With all due respect to doctors, engineers, architects, blah blah blah. The best creatures that walked upon earth were the messengers of Allah. When you give da'wah, you are actually fitting the same job description. Your job occupation, your occupation is that of the prophets and the messengers. And what honor is there beyond that? What virtue is there beyond that? This is the ultimate, the highest, the peak, the epitome of success and honor and dignity which one may receive in this world. What people will receive in the life to come, that's another story. But in this dunya, in this lively world, in this worldly life, there isn't anything more prestigious, more honorable, and more virtuous than being among those who call to Allah. And guess what? You don't have to be the most famous speaker on earth, nor do you have to have a huge reputation among the people. You could be giving da'wah on the down low, which no one knows about, to some, you know, people that live down the street from you, neighbors or colleagues at work, and you could be in the sight of Allah better than the one who's on TV 24/7. Because we don't know the conditions of the heart. One who is famous, and we assume that all of our brothers who are given da'wah are all inshallah with good hearts and good intentions, but ultimately we cannot conclude something for sure. One who is sincere giving da'wah on a very low, no one knows about him. No one knows about him. He's unknown. But he is doing the job of the prophets and the messengers correctly. This person may be more virtuous than 500 du'at which are on YouTube, on TV, and all over the place. Subhanallah. What I'm saying is, don't think that I'm speaking about some category of people that you know, we don't belong to. We can be among them. Even if no one knows us. Even if you're listening to me, no one knows about you. Once you are engaged in da'wah, then you are automatically among those who are imitating the prophets and the messengers, and that is virtuous in and of itself. Don't be looking for fame. You may wish that your da'wah makes it to the largest number of people because you want to share the message, yes. But don't worry about that. Your objective is to convey the deen of Allah to the people regardless of the numbers and regardless of the invitees. Once you are doing it, then this ayah is applicable to you. You are among the best in speech. You are the best in speech among the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are proud to be a Muslim. This was the ayah. Now, other ayat which allude to the same virtue is the ayah where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana wajadilhum bil التي هي أحسن." Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom, with good preaching, and argue with them in a manner which is best. If ever you need to argue, then you do so in a manner which is best. Here Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us how to actually give da'wah. And that da'wah must be done on levels. Why? Why should you give da'wah? Before I elaborate on the ayah, let us just look at some narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Man da'a ila huda kana lahu min al-ajri mithla ujuri man tabi'ahu la yanqusu dhalika min ujurihim shay'a. Man da'a ila huda كان له من الأجر مثل أجور من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا." Whoever calls people to goodness shall have a reward equal to those who follow him. However, that does not take away from their reward the least bit. It does not diminish their reward the least bit. It's not like you give da'wah to someone, you invite them to Islam, they start practicing Islam, now they start acquiring good deeds. Because you gave them da'wah, you will get an equal amount of deeds. Not that you will share them, they will get 50% and you will get 50% because you're the one who gave them da'wah to Islam. No. They will get 100% of their reward and you will get 100% equal to theirs. Because you are the one who gave them da'wah. Do you believe this? Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning, if someone becomes a Muslim because of you, and then they pray 5 times a day, they pay zakah, they go to Hajj and Umrah, they remember Allah, they enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, recite the Quran, all of these good deeds are in your book of deeds. Your book of deeds. You. Imagine if they were 2. Imagine if they were 3. Imagine if they were 4. Imagine if this person, like Sheikh Yusuf, that you give da'wah to, wind up giving da'wah to millions of people. This is the best business transaction in the world. Nowhere in the world do you get these kinds of offers. The best Macy's can do for you is give you 40% discount on a shirt that you buy. Or shoes for less, if this is what they're called. You buy one shoe, you get the other one half off. No one will tell you, buy one shoe and take 1 million from our warehouse. Imagine what the situation would be like. Buy one shoe, take 1 million. Man, we would be standing in line. The whole world will be standing in line. I buy one shoe, you give me 1 million for free, are you sure? Now in the world, in this world, no one will ever do this for you, no matter what. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this business transaction with Allah, this is easy for Allah. هُوَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. For Allah, this is easy. But where are we? Where are we? Are we doing this? Or are we bringing these narrations to mind while we're giving da'wah? And let me give you some good news. This doesn't mean that you, this does not only apply to guiding a non-Muslim to Islam. No. The hadith says, whoever calls to guidance will have a reward equal to those who follow him. This is general, including Muslims and non-Muslims. Meaning, if you teach someone the sunnah, one sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that they did not know of, or you remind them of something they had forgotten about, and they start practicing because of your reminder, then everything I mentioned earlier is applicable as well. Subhanallah al-Azim. Wallahi, if they gave us these offers in this world, I don't think any one of us will stay behind. No one will slack off. We will be on our toes, trying to gain and benefit from any offer given to us. This offer is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This offer is an offer which will permit you and admit you to paradise. This is among the best means for you to enter paradise, because what it boils down to on the day of judgment is the good deeds outweighing the bad deeds. And if you have given da'wah to so many people, you will come with millions of good deeds on the day of judgment. Guess what? Insha'Allah, these will outweigh your bad deeds and you'll go to Jannah. Because of a lecture you may deliver, or because of a pamphlet you may hand over to a non-Muslim, or even reminding your own relatives of the rights of Allah in Islam, which they have abandoned. Yes, all of this shall not be wasted if we act upon this information. In another narration in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Ali radiallahu anhu, when he sent him to give da'wah, he told them, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النِّعْمِ. For Allah to guide one person to Islam through you, it is better for you than the red camels. You're thinking, red camels? What am I going to do with a camel? Go to work? Imagine if you were going to work on a camel, you know, and then you park outside, you know, the policeman comes and says, hey, you know, what is this? Say, this is a brand new camel. You may be thinking, what is a camel? What's the big deal? It's better for you than having, you know, the red camels. What is a red camel? Well, you have to understand the narration in the historical context. Historically speaking, the Prophet ﷺ was addressing Ali radiallahu anhu in the Arabian Peninsula 1400 years ago, when there were no airplanes, no cars, no motorcycles, no skateboards, no roller skates, no bicycles, no nothing. Right? The people were living like, you know, like back in the days. The most virtuous, and they were not living in mansions, the Arabs in particular. They were not living in mansions, they were not living in big castles. This was the Romans and the Greeks, you know, and the Persians, I'm sorry, the Romans and the Persians had established this kind of, you know, civilization. The Arabs were a little backward. A little backward. Now, here, the red camels was the most valuable asset, the most valuable treasure for the Arabs during that time. In fact, ironically, until today, in the UAE, in the United Arab Emirates, until today, they continue to hold competition on camels, where the red camels are sold for millions of dollars. Millions of dollars for until today, camels. They remain to be a valuable treasure for the Arabs, for the desert Arabs. So here, the Prophet ﷺ is telling him, it's better for you than the red camels. Not a red camel, it's in the plural, red camels. Meaning back then, it is as if he's telling him, this is better for you than the dunya and whatever is upon it. It is better for you than the whole worldwide. It's better for you than Mercedes. It's better for you than Jaguar. It's better for you than Bentley. It's better for you than castles, mansions, rivers, waterfalls, everything. As if he's telling him, one person to become, to be allowed into Islam, to enter into Islam because of you, is better for you than all of that which I had mentioned to you earlier. Excuse me for 1 second. Some people are trying to chat with me elsewhere and you need to log off. Here we go. Forgive me. So, Alhamdulillah. So then, better for you than the red camels, what else do we want? Basically, it's if you get involved in da'wah and you wind up sacrificing something for the sake of Allah, sometimes, you know, there's conflicting of schedules. You probably have had this before. You have something, some worldly thing you need to get involved in, and then some da'wah thing pops up, and you know, you get confused. Now, how am I going to bring a relation between both? We need to bring some of these narrations to mind as means of encouraging ourselves to go for the da'wah. It's better for us, unless you are, of course, in need for money, and you know, it's means of survival for you, then in which case, of course, you have to favor what, you know, what will keep you floating, as they say. Otherwise, if you have abundance of money and you have time to dedicate for da'wah, please, my brothers and sisters in Islam, don't deprive yourself of the reward. I'm not going to speak about anyone else. Do not deprive yourself of the reward of being among those who invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the obligation of da'wah. Da'wah is not necessarily optional, rather it is obligatory depending on ability. And we touched upon that in our last session. There are many reasons why the scholars are of that position. One of them, one of the evidences cited in this context is that of the Prophet ﷺ, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey of me even if it is one ayah, one miraculous sign, whether it is an ayah from the book of Allah or a sign of the creation of Allah, one ayah. Convey from the Prophet ﷺ, convey of the Prophet ﷺ, even if it is one ayah. So, can anyone be a Muslim without knowing one ayah? Can you be a Muslim without knowing Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen? Can you be a Muslim without knowing Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? Can you be a Muslim without knowing Maliki Yawm al-Din?
Can you be a Muslim without knowing قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ? I don't think so. So once you have acquired at least that much, you are expected to convey that to people, because the Prophet ﷺ said, convey of me even if it is one ayah. One ayah. SubhanAllah. That shows you how important it is. Look, there will be no more prophets, there will be no more messengers. We are playing the role. We are assuming the role of the prophets and the messengers. Allah had made this religion preserve through people like you and hopefully us. Allah had ensured the preservation of Islam through the people whom He chose to give da'wah. Isn't that amazing? You, by giving da'wah, become involved in the cycle which Allah had decreed to be means of maintaining Islam. You, by giving da'wah, you are part of the cycle with which Islam is preserved and conveyed to the people. Now, that doesn't mean that Allah needs us. Allah doesn't need us. Allah can preserve and can convey His message to His creation without the need of anyone, not even the messengers. But Allah's wisdom entailed that messengers will be involved, then people will come after them and they will play their role, they will do what they did, and they will continue conveying the message of Allah to the people. If you are one of them, this is the most honorable thing Allah can bestow upon you after being a Muslim. This could be the most honorable thing Allah will bestow upon you as a favor after guiding you to Islam. That you become part of the cycle of preservation. You are part of the cycle of preservation. Because you learn the deen, you understand Islam, you convey Islam, you maintain Islam. And Islam shall enter every house in the world, whether the people like it or they don't. Even if they make war against us, and even if they try to kill us, and even if they criticize us, and they call us terrorists, and they say all kinds of nonsense about us, Islam shall enter into their homes. The same politician, and the media, and the same writers who are writing and using their pens to attack Islam, Islam shall eventually enter their homes. Allah knows. Perhaps one day his own daughter will come and say, I have become a Muslim. And he will probably faint, because he had been engaged in war against Islam all these years, just to find his own daughter entering into the religion which he was warning the people against and threatening the people from entering into. This is the will of Allah. It shall happen. We are either involved or we'll be on the sideline watching. You know, which is better? Which is better? To be the actual player on the field bringing about victory, or to be a fan on the sideline? Hey! Come on, you can do it! Come on now! How lame! What are you doing on the sideline? Just screaming and making a bunch of noise. Maybe you're more irritating than beneficial. Maybe the player's like, just be quiet, man, I can't concentrate. As opposed to you being the man on the field. The person bringing victory with your own effort, not with someone, you know, screaming in the background. That's what it boils down to. This is the da'wah. Either we will watch on the sideline, other people give da'wah, say, oh, mashallah, very nice, wallah, very, very nice, brother. Mashallah, mashallah. Or you can get involved. You can get involved. Don't wait to become, the biggest shot. Just find people in your locality, neighbors, friends, co-workers, classmates, anyone, and inform them about Islam in the best way possible. By you doing so, then you are no longer on the sideline, you are part of the cycle, you are bringing about the victory and the success and the spreading of Islam by yourself. Asking for trouble? No, you're not asking for trouble. Someone typed that you're asking for trouble. If this is in reference to what I'm saying, then this is not asking for trouble, this is asking for Jannah. But Jannah requires that you get into trouble. You can go to paradise while, you know, lying down on your back on a sunny day at the beach. If you think you will go to Jannah like this, you have a misconception about paradise. Paradise, it's Sil'atullah al-Ghaliyah. It's Allah's expensive commodity. It's Allah's expensive product. And you can't go in. You can go in until you make the necessary effort. Allah says concerning this, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. As for he who desires the life to come, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. Look at the words. سَعَى, you know سَعِي? Ha, brothers and sisters, have you heard of the word سَعِي? You know, you go to Hajj, you do tawaf, then you do سَعِي between الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَى, right? You remember that word سَعِي? سَعِي, linguistically, is a level above عمل. عمل is work. عمل is work. سعي requires effort. That's why when you're doing سعي between الصفا والمروة, between the two green flags or the two green lights, you actually start running. Because you are expected to be making some effort. You know, سعي requires effort. So when Allah wanted to speak about paradise and those who look for the hereafter, they said, وَسَعَى لَهَا, they made the necessary effort. There was effort involved. Then it is those whose effort will be appreciated. So yes, when you give da'wah, you will come across trouble, you will come across conflict, you will come across opposition, you will come under criticism, you will be boycotted by some, abandoned by others, warned against by some. Yeah, it will not end. But does that mean that you surrender? Does that mean that you give up? No. That means that you continue with perseverance. You continue with patience, because Allah had said that if you don't, you'll be a loser. Remember in the last dars, in the last lecture, we mentioned, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah swore by the passage of time that every human being is immersed in loss except those who believe and do righteous deeds and enjoin one another to truth, to the truth, and enjoin one another to patience. If you don't have these four characteristics, four characteristics, you will be a loser. You must call people to the truth, you must be patient in the process. But who is the ultimate winner? We are. Who will be honored? We would. Who will be, look, let me just give you an example, excuse me. Sorry about that. Yusuf. You know Yusuf? I'm not speaking about Sheikh Yusuf Estes. I'm speaking about Yusuf ibn Ya'qub, Joseph, son of Jacob, the messenger, the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has the whole surah in the book of Allah dedicated to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusuf was a man who was imprisoned because of a crime which he did not commit. Okay? Now, today, in this day and time, if you were imprisoned at some point in time, and then you went to apply for a job, doesn't the fact that you were imprisoned become a conflict? Aren't the chances of you being hired are lesser than someone else because you have a criminal record? Aren't many people who were imprisoned before, then they repented and they changed their ways, continue to suffer today because of their past and history? People are not willing to forget about the past. They are always afraid that these people will have the tendency or the potential to go back to their evil ways. Usually, if you have been imprisoned, then this is already a black dot on your record. This is already a deficiency in you. And it's supposed to destroy your reputation. This is what it's supposed to do in the real life world. Now, Yusuf was imprisoned for a crime which he did not commit. But he was the da'i. He was the one inviting to Allah. So much so that when he was in prison and the two companions of the prison came to him and asked him to interpret a dream, what did he say? He did not interpret the dream for them. The first thing he did, he gave him da'wah to Islam. قال إني تركت ملة قوم لا يؤمنون بالله وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون. The first thing he did saying, I have abandoned the way of people who do not believe in Allah, and in the life to come they are disbelievers. And I have followed the way of my forefathers, Ibrahim and Ismail. I have followed the way of my forefathers, Abraham and Ismail. It is not for any one of us to ever associate any partners with Allah. This is from the bounty of Allah upon us and the people. But most people do not understand. Most people do not appreciate. Most people do not recognize. Then he said, Ya sahibay sijin, a'arbabun mutafarriqoon khayrun amillahu al-wahidu al-qahhar. Oh, two companions of the prison, are many multiple gods better or Allah, the one, the irresistible? After he gave them da'wah to Islam, then he interpreted the dreams for them. And you know what? Because of this da'wah, because of this effort, because of this this action of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, until today he is held in high honor among the Muslims and even the Christians and the Jews. Someone whom Allah has honored permanently. He will be honored until the end of time and will be honored in the life to come because he was involved in da'wah. Him being in prison did not ruin his reputation. Allah made his innocence clear and known to everyone during that time. And he refused to go out of prison until they confessed that he had nothing to do with the accusation that the wife of the Aziz had accused him of. And she confessed about her own errors and shortcomings. Unbelievable. This is the life of the da'i. He went to prison. For many years, he suffered. And he went through all of these for the sake of da'wah. That's why the ulama say that Surah Yusuf is the classical example of the life of the da'i. There's effort, but there's honor associated, and then there's reward in the life to come. So this is what we need to bring to mind. From this day on, never ever belittle any da'wah that you give. You may stop a non-Muslim, and inshallah in the future durus I will give you very practical, many practical examples on how to give da'wah, meaning practical ways and examples on how to give da'wah to the non-Muslims, but that would be later on inshallah. But let me just give you an example right now. You can grab a non-Muslim, you come across and say, listen, maybe your friend at work, you know, your classmate, let's say a friend, a class, work, a colleague. You say, listen, you know, something that is very, very precious, something that is very dear to me, that I would like to share with you. I'm sure that you have known by now, you have recognized by my appearance, by my behavior, by me going to pray 5 times a day, that I am a Muslim. And to be very frank with you, listen, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm not going to claim something other than what I really intend, honestly, without any, you know, compromising. I believe strongly that my religion is the only religion accepted by God. Islam is the only religion which is correct in the sight of Allah. And I wish to share this message with you, because I want goodness for you today when you are buried in your grave and on the day where you will be resurrected. My sincere hope for you to be successful does not end in this worldly life, and it is not limited to materialism. My intent for you to be successful is so profound that I would love to share Islam with you, and I simply want you to give me your opinion or your evaluation or your feedback, whether positive or negative. I have no problem accepting. I have no problem. I wish to hear anything you have to say. I just want to convey the message to you. Now, you know, if you say this to someone, this will be shocking to them, because they probably never came across someone who will speak to them so genuinely, someone who is so straightforward and sincere in what they believe, someone with so much confidence, that you tell them in this particular fashion. And you can just give them a book afterwards. Say, listen, I'm not very good at giving da'wah, but please read this book. you know, something about the scientific miracles of the Quran, or something about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or some book about Tawheed, or if it's a Christian, a special book, you know, like some of the books by Bilal Phillips, the purpose of creation, the true message of Jesus Christ, any book that you give, and you may leave, and you may think that your da'wah made no difference, but you don't know. This person may avoid you in the beginning, may ignore you, but he may some years later, you know, for some whatever circumstance Allah allows, be reminded of that situation, be reminded of you, and then he will go and read this book or study Islam and become a Muslim maybe 10 years after you gave him da'wah without you ever knowing. But guess what? You were the one who initiated it. You were the one who started it. So don't belittle, don't undermine any opportunity to give da'wah. You may think people will not benefit, you will be shocked. You will be shocked. Even if it's a Christian, you can just tell them, listen, you know, I don't understand. Can you explain to me the concept of, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and how they are co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, and you know, you give them some maze, because they cannot explain it. And, you know, let them explain, let them just run their mouth, and they say, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, you tell them, uh-huh, okay. You know, in Islam, we have a little, you know, more basic teachings, which is basically God is indivisible, He's creator, sustainer, He doesn't have children. So, you know, I just wanted to hear your views and give you my views. And you walk away. Now, what happens to this Christian after eating is like, whoa, I had to, you know, explain for 15 minutes all this nonsense, how, you know, God became a man, and then he became this, and then he crucified himself so he can please himself, and the Holy Ghost guides the people, and blah, blah, blah. And you come and give him one sentence, you know, brief definition of Tawheed, which doesn't require a genius to understand, and you will change his thoughts for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, he may never feel confident about Trinity, because you simply cast some doubt in him in 1 minute of da'wah. Isn't that amazing? And it's even more amazing than that. So these are some examples. Now, I would not like to go any further, because I want to give some time for Q's and A's, questions and answers. I will stop the dars or the lecture to right now, bi-ithnillahi azza wa jal. And inshaAllah ta'ala, in the next week, we will be continuing with some of the practical ways of giving da'wah. Practical examples on how to approach people if you're in an airplane, you're in a taxi, if it's a coworker, if it's a classmate. What are the best ways that we can utilize to convey the deen of Islam without causing a lot of trials, without causing a lot of problems, by maintaining our cool and ensuring that the deen of Allah is conveyed to the people in a manner which is becoming. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. If you have any questions, I'm sure the monitor will further guide you on how to go about it, inshallah ta'ala. وجزاكم الله خيرا أيضا.